morning and turn to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew and the 9th chapter. And Lord willing, we'll be finishing up the 9th chapter, but not all the thoughts that are contained in this 9th chapter. Or when we go on into the 10th chapter, we find a continuing thought of what he says here in the verses this morning. But let's look at verses 35 through 38 as we have divided it up this morning. Verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." As sheep having no shepherd. Pay attention to that phrase. That's an important one. "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There are sheep having no shepherd. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, Lord of the harvest of his sheep, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Jesus is continuing his ministry, continuing to go as we've followed him through Matthew's account. Matthew, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and writing of the life of the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing we want to note about Christ's ministry today is the first thing, and that is that he did not limit himself, and his acts of kindness and compassion to his own city or his own house. Which is where he was just leaving. He went. Did you notice that? He went. Well, what does that mean? He went. Well, he got up and went. It means went about, to go about. And so, after his resurrection and just before his ascension, he said to his church, "Go, as I have done in my earthly ministry. I've went, I've gone. Now you go." Well, where did he go? Well, our verse 35 says he went in into all the cities and villages. He went on a circuit, you might, if you please. He went all about the region, not just Capernaum, the city that he dwelt in, the city that he had set up as his headquarters, but into every city and village in the region. And so he said this to his church before his ascension in the book of Acts in chapter 1 and in verse 8. He said this. He said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world." So, not only to Jerusalem, but to the region all about and in the uttermost parts of the world, he said. And so in the book of Mark in chapter 16 and verse 15, there it relates the commission to his church. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, what are we to do when we go? What did he do? What did Jesus do here? As we look at this passage of Scripture, what did Jesus do as he went? We see that he got up off of his seat of do-nothing and he went. Well, did he just lollygag around the cities and the villages and that? Or what did he do? Well, the first thing we know is that he taught.
Yes.
Well, where did he teach? He taught in the synagogues. Now, the synagogue was a gathering place for the Jew. And it was a place that they came together so they wouldn't have to make the long journey to Jerusalem. That's what they started out as, is synagogues, places that they could go in and have the law read and taught to them and pray. And not have to make that trek to Jerusalem to the temple. But it became something that it was even in the villages. It was in all the cities, and in all the villages was the synagogue. Place for the Jews of that city, the Jews of that village, to come together for the reading and teaching of the law and for prayer. That, the thing I want you to note about that is that is where the people were. That is where people were gathered together. So Jesus went to where the people were and he taught them. That was his custom to do, was it not? We saw in looking at other places in our journey just to date to the 9th chapter, to the 10th chapter. We noted in chapter 4 and verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And then immediately in chapter 5 and verse 2, he goes up into a mountain and he sits down on the mountainside. There. Overlooking the multitudes of people. Many people gathered. And chapter 5 and verse 2 tells us, "And he opened his mouth and taught them." He taught them. So much so that, and that begins what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And it closes out chapter 7 and it says that he taught them as one having authority. He taught. And he taught with authority. That is, as a judge over his jurisdiction, but he knew whereof he spoke. He didn't have to him hauling around. He knew whereof he spoke. Second thing we see is that he preached. He taught and he preached. What did he teach? What did he preach? He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the good news of the kingdom. That's what he preached. The good news of the kingdom. Well, what's the good news of the kingdom? Well, he preached to them from Moses and the prophets. Amen. The glad tidings of peace and pardon, reconciliation, salvation through himself.
Yes.
The Christ. We see that an example of that we have in the book of Luke and in chapter 24. When Jesus, after his resurrection and before his ascension, he was on the Emmaus Road with two men. And verse 27 says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded." What's that mean? He expounded. That is, he unfolded the meaning thereof. What does it mean to unfold something? It means to open up. He opened up the meaning. Well, what? Unto them, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He opened up from the Word of God, from the scriptures that they had of that day, which was Moses and the prophets. He opened up to them the things concerning himself. You see, that was what Jesus' ministry was. Teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. From what? From Moses and the prophets. He expounded to them the things concerning himself. As he preached to them, sound words, according to our text, as he preached to them, and he taught them sound words, contributing to the health of their souls. That's what he was concerned about, most of all, was their souls. Their condition, spiritual condition. He also cared for their sufferings, their sicknesses and their diseases, the physical health. And so, healing every sickness, our text tells us, verse 35, healing every sickness and every disease among them. His care for their physical sufferings, and his healing them also confirmed the doctrine which he taught. You get that? What kind of a testimony is it if we only minister to their spiritual, but we care not for their physical distresses? Secondly, which takes up verses 36 through 38, we want to notice the multitudes. The multitudes. He took note of the multitudes. As Jesus traveled from city to city and from village to village, he saw masses of people. He was, and as he looked upon these masses of people, he was moved with compassion. Verse 36 tells us that he was moved with compassion. Literally, that is, his innermost being yearned for them. He was the good shepherd. His heart was touched. Why was it touched? Why did he have compassion? Why did he yearn within himself for them? He came to seek and to save sinners. We're told in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, that was his mission, which is in keeping with Matthew 1 and 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was his purpose in coming, that he might save his people from their sins. He, the merciful high priest, the good shepherd, the faithful prophet, was greatly concerned for the souls of men. We can really see that in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, in verse 2. That tells us concerning Jesus, it said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? Did you ever stop to think why Jesus went to the cross? Because he was concerned about providing salvation for me, for you. But our verse also tells us why he was moved, why he yearned within himself. It says because they fainted. Well, as you and I read that, what do we think of when we read because they fainted? Do we think of the physical? Is that what Jesus was looking on? That's what we would think of, wouldn't we? But that's not what Jesus, this text means here, because they fainted. It's speaking of their spiritual condition, not their physical. Jesus was looking upon their spiritual condition, and he saw that they were fainted. They were harassed and confused. Why were they harassed and why were they confused? Because those who should have taught them the truth of Moses and the prophets hindered them. Hindered them. Remember who the teachers of the day were. The Jewish teachers of the day were the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, we already know much about the scribes and the Pharisees, don't we? Look at what Jesus said later on in the book of Matthew in chapter 23 and in verse 13. He said, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. They shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Neither do you allow, neither do you permit those who are suffering spiritually. As these multitudes that Jesus was looking upon that fainted, Jesus was looking to the spiritual. And while the scribes and the Pharisees should have, what they taught them from the word was good, Jesus said earlier in that 23rd chapter there, he said, whatsoever the scribes and the Pharisees teach you, that do, but don't do like they do. In other words, they were teaching something totally contrary by their actions, by the life which they lived. You see? And therefore, they're not suffering them to understand the teachings of the kingdom of God. And it says that they were scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad. That phrase there literally means they were thrown and tossed about from one sect of the Jew to another sect of the Jew. They were tossed and thrown from one group to another. You see. Notice the next statement. As sheep having no shepherd. As sheep having no shepherd. Having no one to care for them. No one to keep them gathered together. No one to feed them. To feed them sound doctrine. There was no one to take on the duty of a shepherd. By the way, that word shepherd means also pastor.
Yes. Amen.
It's equivalent. I mean, the same Greek word, shepherd, pastor. But I want you to know here who Jesus looked upon, who his eye was set upon. His eye was to the sheep. As sheep that have no shepherd. He saw the multitudes. And his eye was set upon the sheep. And they had no shepherd. In the book of Matthew, and a little bit later, we'll study. In the 15th chapter, in verse 24, he tells the Syrophoenician woman there. Note who she was. She was not a Jew. She was Syrophoenician. She was Gentile. And he tells her, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of the lost sheep. Of the house of Israel. And so, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at this. In the 10th chapter, in verse 6, when he sends out his apostles, he says, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus was sent unto the lost sheep, and he sends his apostles forth into the lost sheep. Turn with me to the book of John. The book of John in chapter 10. And notice here in verse 11. It says, Jesus speaking these words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, he said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And I've known them.
Jesus, looking at the multitudes, and he was looking to the sheep, for he knew who his sheep were. And they had no pastor. They had no shepherd. They had no one to care for them. No one to care for their soul.
No one to feed them. Notice what he said in verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. What did Jesus mean? And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. What is he talking about of this fold? You see, Jesus was concerned about the sheep. Even in Matthew chapter 9, the passage we're in this morning, he had an eye to the sheep in those multitudes. They were a sheep having no shepherd. This fold that he's talking about, he said earlier in that 10th chapter, he said, I came through the door. The door to the fold. He talks about the fold and the one who comes in through the door is the good man.
Amen.
You see, he came through the door. That's what Matthew set forth to give in the first chapter, his credentials, his pedigree.
Yes.
That he is a Jew. He is of Israel. He came through the door.
The door of the Israelites.
Luke, in his rendition, gives the account showing his pedigree, showing that he came through the door
into the sheepfold.
And Jesus says here in this 10th chapter, he said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. They're not of the fold of Israel. He was looking to the Gentile sheep. You see, those sheep who were Gentiles,
but we're not yet. And they were going to be brought into the fold, and there'd be one fold.
Amen.
You see, the family of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of God. So Jesus had an eye to the sheep. And this is what moved him with compassion. Because they were faint spiritually. They were faint spiritually.
I asked myself the question in studying this, and I asked you the question this morning. Do we have an eye to the sheep? Do we have an eye to the sheep? Well, we would say, oh, but I don't know who the sheep are. But Jesus does. Do we have an eye to the sheep? Do we have a heart for the sheep? Do we want to see the sheep brought in? If we do, we'll be going about all the region, teaching and preaching the kingdom.
Amen.
Of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Notice in the next verse, the third point, a profound statement. In our circles, you hear it quoted often. Jesus, having an eye to the sheep and seeing their miserable, sad condition, he turns himself to his disciples, the ones whom he's about to send forth in chapter 10, his apostles. He turns himself to his disciples and says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. There are large numbers of sheep. God's elect was
in those cities and in those villages and in the region beyond.
And he was looking to his sheep. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22 and verse 27, where we read, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee." Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 in verse 14. Jesus said this, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." You see, it must be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. And then shall come the end, he said. Jesus' eye was to the sheep. He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous. It is abundant. Oh, the field. The field is great. The field is large. It's the whole world. And the harvest is abundant." What is abundant? What is an abundance? What is abundant? Would you say the Lord God is abundant? Would I say the Lord God is abundant? Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 says that He is. Says that He is abundant in goodness and in truth. He's abundant in goodness and truth. How abundant? Well, you can't get any more abundant than He is. He's full of goodness and He's full of truth. You see? Here's abundant. He, the Lord God, is one. And that's abundant.
Amen.
One sheep, one lost sheep out there, is an abundant harvest. Is an abundant harvest. Can you attach worth to one soul? Can you attach a monetary value to one soul? It's abundant, isn't it?
Amen.
He said the harvest is abundant. He said, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. The harvest of the sheep is abundant. It is plenteous. And arguably, The earth is inhabited by more people now than at any other time in the history of the earth. I said arguably. But the laborers are few, Jesus said. The harvest is the Lord's. Consider that. The harvest of the sheep is the Lord's harvest. All sheep are His. All His sheep are His. And it is He. He sends forth laborers into the fields of harvest. He sends forth. And just consider this. At that present time when Jesus made that statement, the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. How many laborers were there at that time?
at the time that Jesus spoke those words? John the Baptist and Jesus. The only two preachers of the gospel. The only two preachers of the gospel at that time. Jesus is getting ready to rectify that
and start to send forth laborers into the field. You see, to bring in the harvest.
Deal with that next week.
But he gave a charge.
He gave a charge in verse 38. He said, pray therefore. Why? Because I have many sheep out there in the field, and the laborers are few. Pray.
Pray the Lord of the harvest. He's Lord of that harvest. It's His field. It's His sheep. It's His work.
Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22 says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He'd send forth laborers into His field. You see? And all things whatsoever ye ask, ye shall receive, if ye ask believing.
We need to be praying. We need to be praying.
What is involved in that praying?
In praying that the Lord would send forth laborers into His field. Well, here's what it means, folks. That He'd save some of those sheep out there, those lost sheep. They would be baptized, brought into the church, and then they become laborers in the field. That's what that means. You're praying for the salvation of the sheep, that they might be saved, baptized, members of the Lord's church, workers in the field
of the Lord. Because He's sent us. He sent forth laborers into His harvest. Next week we'll see that He sent forth the apostles. He sent forth the 70. He sent forth His church.
Matthew 28:19-20, verses that we love.
Yes.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
And lo, I'm with you till the end of the world, till the end of the age.
We know that one well, but look what Paul said later in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9. He said, for we are laborers together with God. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You're God's tillage, plowing, working. You're God's building. We're workers together with God. He sent us into the field. He has compassion. He sees His sheep. He has compassion for His sheep. Do we have an eye to the sheep? Do we have compassion for the sheep? We've been sent. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He'd send forth laborers into His field. pray for the salvation of the lost sheep, that they might be baptized, members of the Lord's church, workers in the Lord's field, in the Lord's husbandry. Shall we have a song in closing, Brother Ron?